This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. This is The Morning Run, 7:48. It's Friday, 2nd of September. Now, a few days ago, Reuters revealed that Maxis and U-Mobile will not be taking a stake in the state-owned 5G agency Digital National Berhad. Sources revealed that the reasons were because the company could not see the benefits of being a minority shareholder in this DNB. Now, yesterday evening, U-Mobile confirmed this and it will not pursue this investment option.
Earlier in the day, actually, Digital National Berhad also released a statement reiterating that other telcos are still interested in the deal. Originally, the government gave six of the country's mobile operators the August 31st deadline to agree on taking a combined 70% stake in the agency. And the 5G wholesale pricing would be 30,000 ringgit per gigabyte per month, locked to a period of 10 years. But will this latest development further disrupt the country's already delayed 5G rollout?
For some answers, we speak to Alexander Wong, Managing Editor of Soya Chinchow. Good morning, Alex. Now, I know you've been following the 5G story very, very closely, but what do you think of the Reuters report that Maxis and U-Mobile have refused a stake in this deal? Are you surprised by it?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Honestly, the announcement didn't come as a surprise. Back in May, there were reports that the big four telcos have written to the Ministry of Finance to counter the minority stake offer. It was mentioned that it was hard to justify a passive minority investment in DNB without being able to exercise influence and control to safeguard the investment. And besides that, there could be other reasons as well. Could it be the telcos and the investors are not convinced with the business model? Was it due to the due diligence process? Whether is it done properly? And also, is it commercially sound and capable of mitigating the risk of a single wholesale network? And what happens if DNB underperforms?
So the finance minister had also recently said that telcos would have to agree to Digital National's terms by August 31st or risk losing out on 5G access. And now that we have passed the deadline and two companies did not sign up, can you tell us what this means for our 5G rollout?
Well, for the current 5G situation, there are actually two things that's going on right now. Well, the first is the equity stake deal, which was offered to six telcos, but now we're just down to four telcos, according to DNB. And the finance minister said that the foreign takers could come in, but based on DNB's statement, they're going to revise the shareholder to accommodate just four telcos. Well, the second part is the 5G access agreement, where both DNB and U-Mobile have recently said that this is done on an independent track. So it's separate from the equity stake deal. So in short, it is still possible for these telcos to get 5G access without taking a stake in DNB.
Is it realistic for foreign telcos to also enter into the fray then?
Well, it all depends because, like we said, mentioned before, right? This DNB is a cost is running a cost recovery model that's demand driven, and it's hard to see why would they want to invest in such a model because it's a high risk and they want something with high returns. At the same time, based on the latest statement by DNB, it looks like they only accommodate to just four, so it looks like they're not opening the doors yet to foreign telcos.
I'm curious, Alex. Do you then know what each of these four telcos would be paying? Would they be paying more for their stakes in DNB? Because originally it's six and then it's down to four, right? Do we have any idea?
It's not mentioned yet, but assuming that the 70 stake offer is going to be split by four telcos, so that means that each telco will have to possibly pay more because it was reported that they are looking at paying 200 million for about 12% stake. So with this change and it's going to accommodate four telcos, it's possible that they had to pay much more to get like 17.5% stake. And what's more interesting is that with the Celcom and Digi merger that's coming up soon, that means if these two entities combine, does it mean they're going to have 35% stake, which is more than MOF?
Does this, in the end, change the timeline of when Malaysians can see the rollout of the 5G network?
Well, there are two things here. So in terms of the network rollout by DNB, it looks like, based on what they claim, they are still on track to achieve the 80% 5G population coverage by 2024. As of today, there is 30% population coverage with over 1,000 sites. But at the end of the day, how soon can Malaysian access depends on the access agreement. So far, what we know is no one has signed, but YES remains the only telco to offer 5G services in the country.
So is it then even possible with this target of 5G coverage of 80% by 2024 and perhaps even a delay of the 5G rollout? I mean, are we basically not looking at 5G implementation in this country by any time this year or maybe even at best next year then?
Well, to me, the mass adoption of 5G is really dependent on the acceptance by the four major telcos, because because these four major telcos, they have like probably 80 or 90% market share in terms of subscribers. And right now, it's only Yes is offering it. So until that wholesale agreement with DNB is signed, I don't think we can see any future mass availability yet.
And I do understand that in addition to this stake in DNB, what is this reference access offer terms that I keep seeing in the press? What does it mean? Will it lay out the terms in terms of how the service agreement will be like in terms of the 5G services?
Yes, exactly. And that's actually the very important document that that actually governs the pricing, the quality of service, the deliverables, and the other terms and conditions. When the first reference access offer was issued around end of March, telcos have already expressed concerns about the RAO. They stated in a joint letter saying that the current RAO does not ensure quality and affordable 5G access to consumers. One of the biggest concerns is the pricing, which is set at 30,000 ringgit per gigabits per second per month, and it's locked to a 10-year period. So as we all know, data consumption rises on a yearly basis, and to have it locked in a 10-year period at that rate is quite expensive. And that's one of the reasons why the telcos are hesitant to sign up with DNB.
It has been more than 2 years since the announcement of the 5G rollout, a lot of delays and now people pulling out. How would you rate the transparency of the whole process? Also, Alex, I was just curious as well. Prior to this Digital National Berhad setup, the way to roll out 5G was a lot different under the previous federal government. Would that have been a better option?
Partly yes. I think right now what we're seeing, there's like a huge disconnect between the ministries, DNB and the telcos. A lot of concerns have been raised, but they're not addressed directly. For example, the minority stakeholding and also the reference access offer. Until today, the reference access offer is not changed. And partly yes, I think one of it is the single wholesale network approach, because it has been seen as a risky move from the start. But since government announced in March that it will be sticking to the guns to continue with the single wholesale network, the telcos say, all right, fine, let's move forward and do this. But despite the risk, I think the single wholesale network could work, provided that there's a robust regulatory framework to ensure that DNB will be able to deliver a quality, affordable, reliable network. At the moment, there's no regulatory standard for quality of service or mandatory standard on access pricing for 5G. Like we mentioned, one of the biggest concerns is the wholesale pricing of 30,000 ringgit per gigabits per second per month, and it's locked to a 10-year period. And 4G currently is already regulated by the MCMC. If consumers right now are complaining that the 4G networks are bad, how do you expect the government and the regulator to ensure that 5G will deliver as promised?
Alex, I have a question about this RAO, right? And because you have just mentioned the price and you have said that the price is high, but I thought the whole purpose of using this DNB, this SPV and the government owning the 5G asset was to actually ensure that the rollout of 5G to Malaysians would be affordable. So is there some contradiction there?
Well, in a way it is, because if the intention is to ensure that the pricing is affordable to the right, that should be reflected in the documents. Like, for example, if you don't see from the trend, data usage is increasing, the cost of data is decreasing on a yearly basis, what could happen is that the pricing could be revised on a yearly or a quarter or yearly or a few years basis, and there should be a demonstration that the price will go down. Like as we've seen with the mandatory standard access on fiber connection back then. So once that was enforced, the cost of fiber went down. So there should be some demonstration that the price of the wholesale of data will go down on a yearly basis.
And help us understand what's happening in the region, if you can. Are we the only one pursuing such a unique model?
In our region, yes. We are the only one using a single wholesale network, because most of the other countries are doing auction or doing a beauty contest to award the spectrum. Of course, it depends on the market forces as well. Like in Singapore and other countries, we've seen some collaboration with telcos. They form a consortium to speed up deployment and also to reduce costs. And that's what was the original plan in Malaysia. Initially, the plan was to form a consortium with all telcos to roll out the 5G network. And that's done on a private-led basis.
Okay. And do we know how far behind we are, our regional peers, in terms of the 5G rollout? Are we going to be the slowest in ASEAN?
It looks like we're going to be one of the slowest in ASEAN. The closest one would be, if we look at Thailand and Singapore, they already have significant network coverage for 5G. But Malaysia, yes, we have a wide coverage, a significant wider coverage than we are in December. But the problem right now is not many people are on board, because the major telcos are not on DNB yet.
Okay, and how important is it for us to have 5G application? I mean, especially from an industrial perspective, why is it seen as a killer application?
right now, because 5G is okay. One thing about 5G is that it's beyond speed. It's not just about having faster access to stream your YouTube videos. It's beyond that because it provides lower latency to almost like 1 millisecond. It can enable real time applications for industry, and it also has a large capacity to support more devices, especially with more IoT devices are coming on board. Right now, it's mostly seen as beneficial for industries, but for consumers, not so much yet. But what's more important is that we need to build the foundation now from the start and must build it right, because whenever the new killer application comes on board, our network's ready.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was Alexander Wong, Managing Editor at Soya Chinchou, telling us, ending the conversation, telling us why 5G is, it's important for it to be rolled out as soon as possible, because we do need to be ready for that killer application when it happens. And also explaining to us that the whole system or the whole way the DNB had been rolled out is confusing, to say at the very least. And why are these two telcos deciding not to pursue it is, of course, the big question.
We need to sort this out, because we are already, he already warned that we are one of the slowest in the region. We've already dug ourselves into this hole, and we hope that the people, those that are in power, would know how to get out of this.
Yeah, at least, because it is important, especially if we want to be in the forefront of any economic development when it comes to the telco sector or telecommunications or even technology. Up next, of course, The Breakfast Grill, where Keith, you're going to speak to Dr. Kev Lim, CEO and founder of QMed Asia. That's happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.